We're going to learn Daf Mem in Masechtas Ksubas. We're going to start from the end of the second line, where the Gemara is quoting the last line of the Mishnah, or the last phrase of the Mishnah. It says, Kesed Shoyse Batzitzah. So as you recall, just as a quick reminder, the Mishnah was discussing the differences between an Oines and a Mefata. And just for starters, the Mishnah listed that, for example, they all pay Boishas Begam, but an Oines also pays Tsar. And then one of the last things that the Mishnah lists as a difference is that the Oines is Shoyse Ba'atzitzoy, which means he has to drink from his jug, but what we're really saying is that he has... Right, he has to take responsibility for what he did, and essentially, in English, what that means is he has to marry the girl that he was ma'anis. Okay, that's the bottom line. He has to marry this girl. So the Gemara on that point continues like this: Amar Rav Kahana, Amrisa l'shmeisa kamei deRav Zvid min haHardo. So I told over this mission. I told over this memra to Rav Zvid. Nasi, and he asked me the following question. Nasi asay, the nitcholoisa say. So I don't understand. Because the last line of the Mishnah is, and I didn't get to this point, is that while it's true that you have to marry this girl, but if she's usher to you, for example, the classic example, she's a mamzeres, so she's usher, so then you don't marry her. Because there's an isser involved. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. So what? There's an isser. But there's also an asay that says, veloisi elisha, that you're supposed to marry her. You have to marry her. So on the one hand, you have an asay that says marry her. On the other hand, you have a general loisa say that you're not allowed to marry her. This is a classic asay doicha loisa say, which we know, of course, the conclusion is that you would therefore follow the asay. So why doesn't this set of halachas follow that rule? Ne se asay, venit chaloisa say. Why doesn't the asay, if you have to marry her, override the loisa say that you're not allowed to marry her? So Amar Li, so Rav Zvid answered me, when is the classic example? When do we say that you'd say the concept of asay deicha loisa say kagoin milo b'tzaras? That's talking about where, of course, you have to perform the mitzvah of milo, and right exactly on the mokim milo, the mokim that you were going to cut off, that has tzaras on it, which has an isser in the Torah that you're not allowed to cut it off. So we have, on the one hand, an isser of tzaras to cut it off, and on the other hand, we have the mitzvah of milo that you have to cut it off. So there we say, asay deicha loisa say, why? Deloy efshar l'kiyum ala asay. Because there is no way to fulfill the asay. The only way to perform the milah is to cut this exact piece off. And this exact piece has the taras. You have no choice. You have to say, asay deicha loisa say. You can't get around it. Aval hocha. Over here, you can get around it. Aval hocha I amra deloy ba'ino. If she says, I don't want, as we learned on Daf Lama Tesim Aves, she has the option of saying, I don't want to marry this guy. So it now, that becomes an option. Mi'isa la'asei klal, there is no asei. The concept of asei does not apply over here. You don't have a chiyuv asei. So the only time you have a chiyuv, and the whole asei, the entire mitzvah itself falls away. So then you're only left with a loisa asei, because you couldn't, it's efshar, so to speak, efshar l'kayim shneim. You could do the asei where the loisa asei is not relevant. But you don't have to be over the loisa say. In this case, you simply have the girl say, I'm not interested in getting married, and then you do not have to do the loisa say. And therefore, the way the Rishonim explain, and it's very important to say it with these words, there is no asay over here. Once she says, I don't want to get married, there is no asay for him, no chiv on him to therefore continue through with the marriage. And therefore, you don't need to apply the concept of asay, doicha loisa asay. Then, the next Mishnah says like this, Yisoyma, Shenisar Savaniskasha. Now, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that she is a Yisoyma. We would imagine that it's talking about a classic Yisoyma, that her father died. That would be the simple reading of the Mishnah. That she was engaged at one point, and then she got divorced. And then this act happened, the Oines Mefata happened. Rabbi Elazar Oimer, Ha'Oines Chayv, Vamefata Potter. The ma'anis, the guy who in a situation of oinis, he still has to pay the knas, but the mafata doesn't have to pay the knas. And the simple understanding is, as the Gemara explains in a moment, is because mafata, that means she agreed. If she agreed, then the knas, and she's now a yisoyma, the money goes to her. So if the money goes to her and she agreed, what are you paying for? You don't have to pay her, you don't have to pay for damages that she agreed to allow you to damage. And the money goes to her. So therefore, that's the simple reading in the Mishnah, that therefore she is going to be potter. But let's take it a little bit further. Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Bar Chanan, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Eliezer, Beshitas, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Yomro. He says this opinion that the Mefata is Potter, is following his Rebbe's Shita, Rabbi Akiva's Shita. The Omar Yesh Lo Knas, the Knas Alas, so as you recall in the Mishnah before, and the Mishnah said that after a girl, Shinasarsim and Iskarsho, that she was once engaged and now she's divorced, if after that she is an Oynes Mefata, she gets the Knas. The Knas would get to her. So therefore, since it goes to her, she gets to decide whether or not she gets to collect, and since she Mefata, she agreed, so she has no right to charge the Knas anymore, because she agreed. So the Gemara is, okay, so that's what we want to say. Mimai. Now this is actually, even though the Gemara says Mimai, how do we know this? It's not really meant as a kasha. This is all really meant as part of the proof. We're just setting ourselves up. Mimai. How do we know that we're following Rabbi Akiva Shita? Midiktani Yisoimo. Since we say we're talking about a Yisoimo, that is the first word in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Ha'oines Chayva Mefata Potter. And it says that the Mefata is going to be Potter by a regular case of Yisoimo, that she is the one who's collecting the money. She doesn't have a father at all. So Yisoimo Pshita, of course, if she doesn't have a father, she gets the money. Of course, she could easily be Moichol, because she's the one who agreed. Elo, so you're saying you're right. So it's not so simple. So even though the Mishnah says that it's Yisoimo as one case, it's really two different cases. Elo Hakamash Malon, but rather, what the Mishnah is coming to teach us is, Denaira Shenis Arsa Venis Garsha, that a girl who once she gets engaged, and then is divorced, ki Yisoimo, she has the same aloha as Yisoimo, she is what as the Gemara refers to in other places as the Yisoimo Bechaya Aviha, that even though her father is still alive, she has the halachic status of the Yisoimo. Halachically, we treat her like Yisoimo because her father no longer, once she got engaged, she's out of her father's jurisdiction. Again, not like the Gemara on Lamites Madalf, but here we're following Rabbi Akiva Shita that she's like a Yisoimo, and therefore the halacha is my Yisoimo la'atzma. So now, just like if she was a real Yisoimo, that her father was actually not alive, we would say that the money goes to her, and therefore she's making the decisions. So to over here also, we're going to treat her like a Yisoimo and say that the money goes to her, and therefore once it goes to her, she's making the decisions. If she's a Mefata, that means she's agreeing. If she agreed, she can't then charge the Knas. Fine, so that would be the explanation of the Mishnah over here. So the Yisoimo over here does not, in our Mishnah, doesn't really mean a regular Yisoimo that her father died, but rather it means because she was Nisarsa of Niskarsha. Omer Rav Zeira, Omer Rav Abba Rashilo, Omer Rav Hamnuno, Sabo, Omer Rav Adabar Ahava, Omer Rav. They say this in the name of Rav. Halocha, Rabbi Elazar. We pass him like Rabbi Elazar that it goes to her and she could be Moichel. Kari Rav Ale, the Rav Elazar, he said about Rabbi Elazar, Tuvino the Chakimoy. He's the way Rashi explains, Ma'usher Shabb Chachamim. He is the straightest. He gets straight to the point. He is very, it's very yosher what he's saying, so therefore we're going to follow his opinion. It's very easy for us to understand it and follow it, and therefore we're going to follow Rabbi Loza's opinion. Okay, so just for an interesting point that Rashi brings up is that we said that Rabbi Eliezer was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud. Rabbi Akiva had 5 Talmidim. Now, of course, we know Rabbi Akiva had 24,000 Talmidim, but we mean 5 Talmidim that were able to carry on the Masorah for him, and those 5 Talmidim were Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemuel. Those are the five Talmidim, and this is Rabbi Elazar in our Mishnah, even though it just says Rabbi Elazar, is Rabbi Elazar ben Shemuel, and this is one of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. Zuck the next Mishnah as we move along. So of course, as we said before, that not only in addition to paying the Knas, there's also the Boishas of Pagam that applies to everybody. Even an Oynes and a Mefata both have to pay Boishas of Pagam. Ezehu Boishas. So the Mishnah says, what is the Boishas? How do we figure out to calculate the Boishas? Hakol Lafiyah Mevayish Vamas Bayish. So really it depends. There is no set number. It depends on who the one embarrassing her is and who the one being embarrassed. It all depends on what your class is. Apparently Rashi says that if the Boishas comes from a regular equal class to you in the class system, So then, Anachanami, that's the most embarrassing. If it's somebody who's like a nothing, a little garbage man on the street, so then Anachanami, that doesn't bother you because you don't care. On the other hand, also, if it's an aristocrat, somebody who's way above you, also, they have a right to do whatever they do, so you're not really embarrassed from them. It's only embarrassing if somebody equal your peers that make it more embarrassing. And the same thing is true for the person being embarrassed. Depending on what class they are, there's different levels of embarrassment in terms of actually how much you can charge. Then the Mishnah continues, pagam. And how do you calculate the pagam? Because we say boishes of pagam, the depreciation of the girl. So royin oisa, we look at her, we view her, ki ilu hi shivcha nimkeres peshuk. We look at her as if she is a shivcha that would be on the market. Kama hoisa yafa, v'kama hi yafa. How much she was worth before this incident happened, and how much she goes down in value after this incident happened. And we'll see in the Gemara is going to explain a little bit further how you do this calculation. So that's boishes of begam. Knas, however, when you're dealing with the knas, the 50 shekel, shavu b'chol odom, that's the same for everybody. V'chol sheyesh loy kitzva, and this now the Mishnah says is a general rule. Whenever the Torah, v'chol sheyesh loy kitzva v'na Torah, when the Torah sets an actual price, shavu b'chol odom, then it becomes the same price for everybody. It doesn't matter what your social status is. Even though we just a moment ago said, by boishes, it depends on what the social status is. And as we'll see in Tosfos Amud Beis, that by begam, also, it depends on what your social status is. When it comes to the knas, social status doesn't make a difference. Everybody, the Torah set the price, it's the same price for everybody. Okay, that's the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks the following question. If the Torah sets a price, how do you know that that set price doesn't cover everything? If the Torah, this, right, the Torah refers to an incident, and then the Torah gives a price. So that price should account for everything that's involved. Since when do you have to charge? What are you charging me for, right? The Torah gave a price. Well, how do we know that it doesn't account for everything? And how do you know that boishes upagam are a separate cheshbon and you have to pay those independent of the knas that the Torah set? So Amar Rav Zeira, so Rav Zeira wants to give a svara. Yoimru, because they'll say, Baal bas melochim chamishim. If you were involved with a girl who's a bas melech, she gets 50. Baal bas hedyoit chamishim. At the same time, you could do the same act for somebody who's just a regular girl, a regular peasant. So she also pays 50. It doesn't make sense. The svara doesn't make sense that everybody should be equal. So that's what Rav Zeira wants to say. So obviously there are other charges. So Amalei Abaya, so Rabbi says to Rav Zeira, I hachi gabei eved nami. Now we know by eved is a halacha that if a shor, an ox, gores a slave and ends up killing him, the owner of the slave has to pay 30 shekel, and that's also a special din of the Torah. Now there, we know that the halacha is that that's everything. That 30 shekel covers the entire cost. So, so if you're using the svara that we look at the difference in the value, and that should, and therefore this, there has to be a difference in price. So let us say the same thing. Eved noikiv margolia shloishim. A slave that could do diamonds, who's very valuable, is pays 30. Eved oisa maisa machat shloishim. And you're gonna say that a tailor, an eved who does tailoring is also worth 30? How could that be? If you're, right, and we, if you're using the svara that different value, people of different classes of different value have different prices, and so then by eved also we should say that they should have different values. And we know, however we know, but we know that by eved it's all the same. Everybody's 30 shekel no matter what the value is, whether they're a dollar or worth $1 million. They're all the same price. So the same way the Torah sets the price over there, it includes everything. So over here also, we should say the Torah set the price; it should include everything. So El Amar Rav Zeira said, "You're right. It's not because simply because they produce a better value, but rather it's a different issue." Ilu ba leah shnayim echad kedarka veechad shaloi kedarka. If she was involved in two incidents, now the way Rashi learns. This is actually a machlekes rishonim and achronim. How exactly Rashi learns the case over here is kedarka and shaloi kedarka, because there's a major machlekes rishonim whether if the girl's a naira besula and somebody is ma'anis her or mafata her shaloi kedarka, whether that incident itself actually pays knas. This is a machlekes rishonim. Tosfos on Amud Aleph says that you do. Well, she's clearly still a besula because of a boiler shaloi kedarka. So the question is, does that act itself require the knas? So the way Rashi learns, It's a machlokes between Tosfos and the Rambam, whether or not you have to pay knas for that. So the way Rashi learns, the way the Mefarshim learn Rashi, is that what we're talking about over here is that this girl had once upon a time been involved in a Shaloi Kedarka incident. Not that that person who did it Shaloi Kedarka is going to pay the knas, but once upon a time, she was already involved in that. But you can't compare a girl who has once upon a time involved in a Shaloi Kedarka to a girl who's never been involved in anything. This is her first time. So you can't compare the two. That's the point that Rav Zeira is saying. Again, we're not talking about the same girl who was once Shaloi Kedarka, and then this is the second time Kedarka. That's not what we're talking about over here. Although that's the way Tosfos learns, that's not the way Rashi and the Rambam learn. Okay, so we're talking about it was a Shaloi Kedarka in a different incident, but Rav Zeira's point is like this. Now back in the Gemara. Ilu ba'aleh shnayim. So now you had two different girls, Echa Kedarka, one this is her first time Kedarka, Echa Shaloi Kedarka, and one she had once before in a different incident been Shaloi Kedarka. So they're going to say, Yoimru ba'al shleimo chamishim. So the one who was involved with the first time, he pays 50, ba'al paguma chamishim, and you're going to say the girl, this is her second time, she also pays 50? Obviously there's a difference between the two. So clearly the Baishas of Agam is that you're creating over here on a different level. Since it's her second time, it's really not the same type of depreciation. So there should be a difference. So again, Rav Zeira tries to show that in the incident itself, there was a difference in who this girl is. So Amalei Abaye, but Abaye says basically the same type of teretz. Ihochi gabe eved nami. So by eved also there are differences. Yomer eved bari, when you're dealing with a perfectly healthy slave, shloishim, he pays shloishim. Eved mukashchin shloishim, and an eved that's basically falling apart and he's worthless, he also pays shloishim. There should be a difference. You should have to pay some sort of difference. And we know the halacha by eved is that it's the same value for everybody. It's the same price for everybody. And that just because you have an intrinsic value, that doesn't change what the knas is. And over there, by Eved, it includes everything. So theoretically, over here also, by the Onus HaMafata, it should include everything. Just even though, you know, there was already some sort of depreciation from beforehand. That should not make a difference in the Torah set price of 50 shekel. So, Rav Zeira gives two svaras. We reject those svaras. El Omar Abaya. So Abaya says, no, Omar Kura. It's based on a pasuk. It's not a svara. The pasuk says, Tachas Asher Ino. It says the reason why you pay, the pasuk continues and says, the reason why you're paying the 50 is because of the inui, because of the incident, because of the pain that was involved at the time. So we understand that to mean, hani, the 50 that you're paying, tachas asher inu. That's, you're paying for the act itself, for the inui itself that happened at that moment. Michlal de'ikha boisha subagam. By the fact that the Torah defines what the payment is for, see, if the Torah was just silent and the Torah says, pay 50 shekel, then that 50 shekel would cover the entire incident. But now that the Torah defines what you're paying for, so that means there are other parts of this incident that are not covered by that 50. The 50 only covers the inu. It only covers that aspect of the incident, but not everything else. So therefore, there's still Boishas of Begam, which is separate and apart, which you're going to have to pay for. So that's Rava's, that's Abaya's. Rava says the similar type of thing, but from a different pasuk. Rava Omar Omar Kro, because the pasuk says, V'noson ha'ish ha'shoyche v'imo la'avi ha'nairo chamishim kesef. That's the pasuk. The pasuk says that after the Oinus HaMafati, you have to pay 50 kesef. This is actually talking about in the context of Mafata. So we darshin hanos shchiva nun. It's because of the hanos of shchiva. Again, the Torah gives a reason and puts a price on what you were doing for a particular reason. The shchiva itself is worth the 50. Fine, so there are separate things that are not included in the 50 because, again, since the Torah itself limited what the 50 is supposed to cover, so therefore, that's all it covers. It doesn't cover everything else. By the Eved, in the case of the Eved, the Torah says you pay 30 shekel and doesn't give a reason why. You just pay 30 shekel. So therefore, it covers everything. But over here, by Onus HaMafata, the Torah gives a reason why you're paying the 50. So now, so that 50 only covers that reason. But Boishas of Agam is not covered in the reason, the Torah, in the reason, either because of the Inui or because of the Shoichev. So it does, the Boishas of Agam is not covered by that reason. So Mamela Boishas of Agam becomes a separate payment. So now that we've established that Boishas of Agam is paid separately, Which is interesting. So again, the flow of the Gemara is really nicely set up. Because now that Boishas and Pagam are separate, are not learned directly out of the Pasuk, it's a separate damages that you're paying. So then the Gemara says, Ve'em al-Dida. So then that should go to her. I understand the 50 shekel goes to the father, because we just said it's based on a pasuk. This is what the guy's paying for, and that's what the pasuk says. Right, but she's the one who's experiencing the boishas of begam, and we just said that's separate and apart. So the emily dido, so maybe that should go to be paid to her. So the Gemara answers, Amar Kra, because the pasuk says binureha beis aviha. The pasuk says that when she's a naira, she's still considered in her father's house, and we understand from that kol shvach neureha laaviha. Whatever shvach, whatever comes in, whatever benefits are derived while she's still in her father's house goes to the father. So therefore, this is just another benefit that she gets. So mamela, it goes to the father. You're right; it is separate, but this is a general rule that it goes to the father. Oh, so the Gemara says, "Ve'elohado amar Rav Huna amar Rav." But Rav Huna said it had a different pasuk. Minayin shemaisa abas la'aviyah. How do we know that anything that the daughter generates, any income that the daughter generates, goes to the father? Shenemar, because the pasuk says, "V'chiyimkar ish es bitoy la'oma." That a father has the right to sell his daughter as an oma of Riyah. And we darshan ma oma. Just like when she is sold as a slave, once she is that in that position, whatever she brings in goes to her master. So we compare and we say that now, before the father sold her, that whatever she generates is going to go to the father. So the question is, Lomali, what do I need that pasuk for? Why don't we learn from the first pasuk that we quoted? Because the first pasuk that we quoted covered everything. It said anything while she's in the father's house belongs to the father. So what do we need the second pasuk that before he sold her as an alma, it goes to the father? See, it's a repetitive. It's the same thing. Ella, the reason why we need that second pasuk is ahi b'afaras nedarim hu d'chsev, because the first pasuk is really only talking about afaras nedarim, and afaras nedarim is saying that while she's in the father's house, she is subject to what he thinks, and mamela the father is able to be made for her nedarim. Okay, so therefore we need the second pasuk to tell us that if she produces income, that income goes to the father. Okay, and that, but we're still left with Akasha. What about Boishas of Agam? Okay, so why don't we learn Taka from the Knas? Sorry, why don't we learn out from Nadarm? Why don't we learn out from Nadarm? So fine, you're right, that pasuk happens to be talking about Nadarm. But once it's true about Nadarm, that she's in the father's house, why don't we say, okay, the same thing applies to money also. Gemara answers as a general rule, Mamayna mi Yisur lo yafina. That's just a general rule. Isser is different, there are different rules, and we don't therefore apply that money also follows those same rules. So we can't, it's not a drasha we can make. V'chitem ineilf mi knas, so fine. So, but we do have a pasuk that you're giving the knas, so why don't we just follow the knas? If already you're giving the knas, the answer is, also, knas is a special rule. There are special rules in the Torah, specific reasons for why we do what we do. So therefore, you cannot learn regular money, the flow of regular money, from the fact that knas goes however we pay the knas. So finally, the Gemara says, you're right. El mistavro da aviyah haveh. It's logical. It has to be that it goes to the father. Because if the father wants, the father could have caused this same boishas supagam in a way that the father would have benefited from him, because he could have married her off to a manuval, to a disgusting person, a mukashchin, and somebody who's falling apart. So she would have experienced the same boishas and the same pagam as what happened here. So since the father can control that in the first place, so here it's just okay. So it didn't happen with the father didn't choose to do this, but we see that the father, since that's a right that the father has, we see those are monies that belong to the father. That is a property of the father. Since the father can control whether or not she has this boishas begam, it's a property of his. It's his right. So when he loses that right, you have to pay him for his loss. So that's why the money goes to the father. So then, at the end of the Mishnah, or not, the middle of the Mishnah says, okay, one of the things that we have to cheshbon over here is pegam. So we say the way to figure out pegam, what her depreciation is, what her lack of value is, is we look at her on the open market, how we would sell a slave on the open market. Now, so how exactly do you value it? Even though it's a slave on the open market, but what are we really talking about? Amar Abu Adishmul, Oimdin, Kama Adam Roitzalitain Ben Shifcha Basula Lashifcha Baula Lashamshai. So we say, how much would you pay? How much more would you pay to have a shifcha who's a basula work for you versus a shifcha that's not a basula? That difference in price is what you pay. So the Gemara says, "Shivcha bu'ula l'sham shoy may nafka le'mino." What difference does it make if the girl is serving you chicken soup? What difference does it make whether she's a basula or a bu'ula? That has no impact on you whatsoever. Oh, obviously, it doesn't make a difference to you whether if there's no nafkamino to you what she is if she's just, you know, doing whatever slaves do in servicing the house. So elo shivcha bu'ula l'shivcha she'ena bu'ula la'asiyah la'avdoi. So the difference is, what would you pay if you were marrying, if you were buying her for the purposes of marrying your slave? So that's how much more would you pay if she was a basula. So the Gemara says, La'avdoi, if you're buying it for your slave, my nafka le'mina, why does that make a difference to me? As Rashi explains, very important Rashi, explains, if the, ultimately the reason why I'm buying a shifcha is so that I should have vlodois, that I should have children, which produces more slaves for me. So then again, what difference does it make if she starts as a psula or she starts as a bu'ula? Why should that make a difference to me, the master? Why would I pay more money for that? So the Gemara answers, Be'evet she'esh loy the rabbi kairis ruach emenu. So the difference is that we're talking about, I'm not just buying it for your average regular slave. I'm buying it for a slave who does a really, really good job, and I want to reward him for the fact that he's doing a good job. So I want to give him a psula, because a psula is worth more than a bu'ula. And if I want to do him a real nice favor, I want to get him somebody that has like an extra, you know, an extra little plus. So therefore, I would pay a little bit more. Whatever that money is, I don't know what that market is. But whatever it is, that difference, that's the amount that she goes down in value. Now, Tosfos asks a very important question. Tosfos asks, what are you talking about? The difference, you're telling me that you have a girl who's an aristocrat, who's a very chush of a lady, you're telling me that her depreciation, because now that she's been a bu'ula, is the same amount as a shifcha that now went from a bu'ula to bu'ula? So Tosfos says, you're right. Anachnami, there, of course, there's a major difference. For her, the difference is, but the Gemara is just setting up the context of how to do the value. But of course, for a more chosh of a girl, the value is more for a basula versus a ba'ula. And so even though the Gemara uses the word shifcha, Tosfos says that the word shifcha is lav dafka. Again, we don't talk about a bas yisrael this way. So we refer to her in the Gemara as a shifcha. We talk about a shifcha. Yeah, it's a mashal. But for the actual value, the difference between a girl who's been, you know, an aristocrat, it's a whole different way. And whatever, that would be the real way to figure out the value. It's Mishnah. Kol mokam sheyesh mecher ein knas. So we've seen this Mishnah be quoted before. Here's the Mishnah itself. And the Mishnah says, whenever you're talking about a girl that is there, the concept of mecher applies, meaning she's a katana, and therefore the father has a right to sell her as an omo. Ein knas, so since she's a katana, she does not fit into the parsha of knas. V'chol mokam sheyesh knas, but then again, if she fits into the parsha of knas, which means she's a naira, she's between the age of 12 and 12 and a half, ein mecher, now she's too old to be sold. As so the Mishnah actually explains, katana yesh lo mecher vein lo knas. So when she's a katana, you could sell her, the father could sell her, but therefore she does not have the right to collect knas. Naira, on the other hand, once she's a naira, yesh lo knas, she does have the right to collect knas, or the father has the right to collect knas. Vein lo mecher, the father cannot sell her anymore because she's over the age of 12. As Rashi quotes the Gemara's Svara, is that if she was 12, if she was sold from before and at the age of 12, she would go free, so certainly you're not going to sell her now for the first time. The Mishnah concludes, Habageres ein lo loy mecher veloy knas. Once she's already 12 and a half, so now the halacha of knas doesn't apply. The Torah says it only applies during nairus, and therefore also she's obviously over 12, so the father can't sell her anymore. So to explain, the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amar Rav Zu Divrei Reb Meir. This shita in the Mishnah that says that under the age of 12 doesn't get knas is only according to Reb Meir. But the Chacham say yesh lo knas b'makay mecher. You do have knas, even though the father also has the right to sell her. The Tanya. So this, now we're going to bring the brisa that shows this machlekes very clearly. That you have a girl from the day she's born until she's 12 years old. Yesh lo mecher ve'ein lo knas. You can already sell her as an Oma of Riyah, but she doesn't have the rights to collect Knas. Obviously, this is Rameir Shita. Mishatov Ishtei Cyrus, once she becomes 12 years old, Asha Tivogar, until she's 12 and a half, Yesh Lo Knas. Now she has Knas, because that's what the Torah says is a Naira. Ve'ein Lo Mecher, but it's too old, she's too old for her father to sell. Divrei Rav Meir. So according to Rav Meir, it's one or the other. Either Mecher or Knas. Very simple. If you're able to sell it, you can't do knas. And if you can collect the knas, that means she's too old for a sale. That's all Rav Meir Shita. The Chachamim say, Ketanam Mimas Gimel Shan of the Yom Echad. So she has to be over 3 years old, because otherwise below that, she's not Roy Labia. So she's 3 years old. Until all the way she is a Baigeris, Yeish Lo Knas. That's what the Chachamim say. She does have the right to collect knas. So we see that according to the Chachamim, even under the age of 12, also gets the right to collect knas. But if you want to be precise, the Gemara asks, knas in mecher loy. Sounds like the Chachamim say the only thing she has is knas, because that's what we talk about. From 3 till 12 and a half, she collects knas. What happens to the mecher? So the Gemara says, you're right. Emo af knas memokem mecher. There could be knas even in a context of when you are able to sell. So you're able to sell. He agrees to Rav Meir. You can only sell till 12. That's everybody agrees to that. But the chiddush is that you get knas, overlaps that time of being able to sell as well, and therefore, and until she is a bageris, she gets knas. Now we'll see in a moment how do the chachamim define naira, because the Torah says naira in the Torah. So I'm Rav Chista, my time to Rav Meir. So it's interesting that Rav Chista jumps to explain Rav Meir, and based on Rav Meir, of course, we're going to understand the shitas chachamim. But Rav Chista is going to explain Rav Meir. The Mefarshim say that because Rav Meir came first, therefore we explain Rav Meir. But we're going to explain Rav Meir. We'll figure out all the shitas. So Amar Kra, because the pasuk says, the loy siya leisha. It says again in the parsha of Knas that one of the results of the oinus mafata, or the oinus rather, is that he has to marry her. But the way it's written is b'mahava atzma. Since it says sihiya, she will be. So it sounds like we're giving her the power. So she has to give the. She has to allow herself to be married. B'mahava atzma akasa medaber. The pasuk is talking about where she can make the decision. Now, if she's making the decision, she has to be over 12 years old, because under 12 years old, she doesn't make those type of decisions. So that's how Rav Meir knows that the pasuk of knas, because this is the same two things. It's knas and marriage. The two go together, and it has to be over 12 years old because she is making the decisions. So it's only when she's over 12 years old. So what do the Rabbanon do with this pasuk? Amar Eish Lakish, Amar Kra. So they find, so he says, the pasuk says, Nairo Afilu Ketana B'mashmo. The word Nairo, so in our Gemara, it's, the word Naira is written with a hey, but actually the Pasuk in the Torah, when it says the word Naira, it's written without a hey. And we'll see that's very important. So the word Naira means, even Katana, as a Nar, a Naira means even under the age of 12. Okay, that's his drasha. Now we'll explain in a moment. Shama Rapapa Reda Rav Chanon Mibay Kluchis. So Rapapa heard in the name of Rav Chanon. Also, Amr Kameda Rav Simi Barashi, he said, repeated this to Rav Simi Barashi. Amalei, Atoina Ha Masnizinlo. Masnizinlo, you learned this concept that Naira, that the word Naira includes or doesn't include under the age of 12 based on this, on the context of Oinus Mefata. Anon, Aho Masnizinlo, we learned the same machlekis in the context of, as we're about to say, in the context of Maitzi Shemra. Amr Eish Lokish, because the Pasuk says, Ha Maitzi Shemra Ala Katana, Potter. He says that if you mitzvah shemra on a katana, in other words, that a husband after he gets married says this girl is not a basula, and it turns out that he's lying, and really she was a basula, so he has to pay a hundred shekel. So over there it's also a knas. So he holds that does not apply if the girl was a katana, even though he was lying about her, it doesn't apply. Shenemar, because there the pasuk says v'nosnoi la'avi hana'ro. And it says over there that the Maitzi Shemra has to pay the father of the Naira. But over there the word Naira is written with a hey. As the Gemara itself says, Naira Mole Dibur HaKosev. When Naira Mole, it has to be a real Naira. A Naira over there means that she's actually literally between the age of 12 and 12 and a half. So since in the Parsha of Maitzi Shemra, over there it says Naira, and it means only a Naira, So we see when it says naira and it without the hay, it doesn't mean only a naira. So, but this is where he starts his drasha from. So that's why of by Maitzi Shemra it's only a naira, but by Anas Mafata it could be even a katana. But the Gemara asks, the Gemara is going to develop this. Maskiflar of Adabar Ahava. Time of the cause of Rahman, so yes, in the following question. Time of the cause of Rahman and Nairo. He's saying it's only because the Torah uses the word Nairo that proves that she must be over 12 years old. So you're telling me if the Torah over there also had just left off the hay, it would apply to a katana? You're saying there was a havamina that it could apply to a katana? But part of the punishment of a Maitzi Shemra is, in the parsha of Maitzi Shemra, if in fact she was Mezana, and the husband wasn't lying, it was really true. It says v'loy nimtzu basulim, and she's not a basulim l'nayiro in this case of a nayiro. V'hoiti yes a nayiro el pesach beis aviyah. We bring her out to the door of her father's house with saklua, and we give her skila. Now, one second, the katana baso in shehi. If she's a katana, she wouldn't get killed. She wouldn't get skila. So it can't possibly be that the parsha of Maitzi Shemra is talking about an actual katana. It must be, but just by the looking at the punishments that are involved in the chi of Misa, we must be talking about a girl who's at least 12 years old. So regardless of whether it said the word Naira with a hay or Naira without a hay, it would still have to be talking about only a 12 year old and not under a 12 year old. So how do you make your diyuk? What's the diyuk based on? So the Gemara says, actually that's goof of the proof. Elakan Naira. So you're right. Over here in the Maitzi Shemra, it must be talking about an over 12 years old. And because she's getting chi of Misa. There would be no punishment of Misa over the age. We know that it's talking about over 12 years old, and the Torah uses the word Nairo with a hay, so we see that the Torah is Dafka. Hakomokim Shenemar Nairo, without a hay, we say the word Nairo without a hay, I feel the Katana B'mashma, so that's why then we know the word Nairo, because it's the same word without the hay, then we know it's talking about under 12 years old. So we see that actually, the Hagufa, the fact that the case of Maitzi Shemra has to be talking about a 12 years old, and their punkt is where the Torah uses the word Nairo with a hay, we see that the word Nairo with a hay is affiliated and associated with a girl who's Dafka 12 years old. And therefore, whenever the Torah uses the word Nairo without the hay, that could be affiliated and associated with a girl who's actually also under the age of 12. Obviously, she's still a Nairo, because the Torah uses the word Nairo, so it includes a girl who's 12 to 12 and a half. But since it's without a hay, we see that we're talking about something else. We could talk about a girl who is a katana also. We'll stop over here.